Hey guys, welcome to WWNT Nerd Alert. I am your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
And Fedra Ekris.
Hello, everybody.
So in tonight's show, what we're going to do is we're going to go over some news, and we're also going to go over the latest episode of Moon Knight. But first, before we start, Fedra is... So you're not necessarily an author, but you're part of a book, right?
Yes, this will be my first publishing as a published author.
Okay, so you are an author.
Yes, I wrote a chapter in this book. This lady, Jamie Zografos, she's in St. Louis, and she came up with this idea of creating an anthology of a book with 40 different authors. The title of the book is Shift with Intention and Soar. And so the book just has all of these stories about not only about mental health and struggles and obstacles, but just what was the significant moment? You know, what was the significant moment in our lives that we shifted gears and went into just a more positive outcome for our lives? And a friend of mine, Eric Rosen, and a really well-established breathwork certified breathwork practitioner and astrologer introduced me to Jamie. And when I sat down with her, of course, this was Zoom because they're both in St. Louis, which I lived for 3 years, but here I am in Florida, and I could not pass up this opportunity. It's been a dream of mine to write and be a writer. I've always loved writing as my favorite subject in English, so this was such an opportunity, and it is going to be launched on Amazon as Kindle on April 21st. It's an amazing deal, guys. it's only $1.99, so hey, it's not those inflated prices.
Wow.
So
that is a deal.
Yeah. So, you know, if you do that in the 48 hours that it launches, it is that $1.99. It will take about 4 weeks after that initial launch for the hard copy, which I will be ordering. So if any of the listeners would like to support me and the 40 other authors, you know, please email me. Of course, we'll give out my email at the end, as we always do. And if you are a Facebook friend of mine, just please share it. I feel like each story is just so heartfelt. And really, I know it may be cliche, but we all struggle in life. We all go through those hard moments. And this is such a book to not only lift you, but to know truly that you're not alone. And that when you make that decision to shift your life, you become your own hero. And it's also why I wanted to bring this up on the podcast, because we talk about Marvel and DC, and we talk about the superheroes that we read and love. But what about our own self as a superhero, you know, working through life and going on this journey? So I hope that you all consider it and just save the date for April 21st.
All right. I definitely will. And I'll talk to you afterwards. Or next week, you know, to basically find out more information about it for myself. And again, like you said, listeners can, what are you, Fedra at WDWNT.com?
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah, can always email you and ask more information about that too.
And Fedra, thank you for that note of positivity to start out with.
Oh, now, yeah. You know
it all
me.
It goes downhill from now, folks. You've had Fedra's moment for the night. We're all doomed now.
What about you, McCarthy? Do you have anything that you want to talk about before we start?
No, not really.
Have you tried out the model more or taken a pause?
I've continued on. I've done some... I've removed most of the detail and rescribed it myself, and it turned out pretty nice. I've added a couple of pieces on where they had like venting that was scaled far back where you could hardly see it. So I just rebuilt that and moved it forward and made windows a little bigger in the snow speeder, because if I went through all the trouble to do the pilot so they look cool, you want to see them. So I made the windows bigger. But that's about it.
Well, that's cool. You know?
Doesn't nice, sound like yeah, a lot, but it took me a couple of days to do it.
Right, but you're that much closer.
That's what happens when you're working on these like crazy kits and you're trying to pump up the detail.
Oh, I guess I could say something. About 2 weeks ago, I had gotten a PlayStation 5 and I got a couple of games. And recently, Spider-Man was on sale and I'd never played it before. It's a Sony exclusive. And they had a sale on the Spider-Man and the Miles Morales game, like as a bundle. So I picked it up and I started playing Spider-Man. And when I first started playing, I never picked it up because to me it looked like a button masher and it looked like the Arkham games. I don't know if you're familiar with that, with the Batman games. And it's just something I'm not into. I'm not into open world. But, and I felt that way for like, I'd say for the first 2 to 3 hours of playing this game. But once you get over a hump, you start to get into the story. It starts to get interesting. I sucked at it so bad. I'm getting a little better, but just swinging around the city, I was constantly crashing into buildings and buses and people. And it was just horrific. I just wanted to break the controller. No, I said horrific.
Oh, horrific. Oh,
horrific. I wanted to break the controller in half, but I'm getting used to it now. I'm starting to learn how to swing and I'm doing better. But the graphics are really nice. And it came out in 2018. So this is a remastered version. And it actually looks even better than it did previously. It's funny, though, like the thing I had the most fun with, and you would appreciate this, Jack, is they recreated all of Manhattan, and it is so huge. I would say it's a fairly accurate recreation of Manhattan. And I went around looking for all the landmarks, which is you know, that they give you, you have to do in the game. Like you have to take a picture of the landmark. I think there's like maybe 30 of them. And at first I didn't realize that you had to do that, but I saw the MetLife building, but it's not called the MetLife building. They do have the Chrysler building. They have the Empire State building.
Flatiron.
What's that?
The Flatiron.
That what's what it's called. What do you mean Flatiron?
That's the Flatiron building. That is the building. It's like triangular shaped.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every stock footage on a sitcom during the 90s. If you worked in the city, you worked in the Flatiron building. Everybody worked there.
Wasn't that the Daily Bugle?
Yes, I believe that was the Daily Bugle.
I never knew the name of that building. So really? It's called the Flat Iron. Okay. Yeah, no, I had to take a picture of that.
But they have Union Square right there and Penn Station and Grand Central, all those.
Yeah. Yeah. They have Grand Central. They have Statue of Liberty, the Brooklyn Bridge, the Manhattan Bridge. Williamsburg Bridge.
Williamsburg.
Everything. What is what replaced the World Trade Center? Is that the Freedom Tower? Freedom Tower? Yeah, they have that there. They have the Staten Island Ferry, which I'm very familiar with. And you know, I had to take pictures of Rockefeller Center, Radio City Music Hall. You name it. Everything is there. United Nations. That's one place I've never visited. And I've been to the city so many times. I never once saw the United Nations, but I saw mostly everything else. Cause like we used to work around that area. We weren't too far from Times Square, Jack and I, so we were
pretty close to the UN building too. It was just down. And remember, depending on who was in town, you couldn't even get near it.
I went down
there a few times, but if like, some ambassador was in, something was going on, it's just like you'd go down to First Avenue, you'd be like, the cops would be like, nope, turn around, go back.
But yeah, no, it's really cool. I mean, I like, and you have so many costumes to unlock, and I'm having such a blast with that. I unlocked the Scarlet Spider, the Future Foundation costume for Spider-Man. The one they give you the Amazing Spider-Man 1 costume and Tobey Maguire Spider-Man costume and also Tom Holland's Spider-Man costumes. And they all look pretty damn cool. And you can just play as those costumes. And the cutscenes change to those costumes, which I love when they do crap like that. Anyway, I'm enjoying it. And after I'm done with that, I'll play Miles Morales. And
so wait, you just said, like, depending on what costume you're wearing in the game, the cutscenes change to match that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they've done that for a while now, like with games. I used to get frustrated whenever I would get a costume and then you would see just like the default costume in the cutscenes. But now they go out of their way and make sure that they also adjust it to make sure that you're wearing the same costume or uniforms. I think that's great.
That is pretty cool.
Technology has gotten so, so more advanced. Anyway, let's get into this thing. Oh, so this is breaking news. And actually, I wanted to thank Dan for telling me this, but I actually had seen it too. This came out from Variety. And this is very, very good news. So I don't know if you guys are familiar that recently Discovery bought Warner Brothers.
Who?
Discovery.
As in Discovery Card?
I don't know. I think it's Discovery Channel or it's a group, Discovery. I'm not 100% sure, but it was like for $43 billion. Yeah, Discovery purchased WarnerMedia for $43 billion. And it just went into effect this week. And these new guys have big changes, big plans in store, especially for the DC Entertainment Universe. So this came from Variety. And they said that they want specifically to have a leader that's similar to Kevin Feige. They feel that right now DC lacks a coherent creative and brand strategy. They want to revitalize characters like Superman.
Really?
They want to revitalize him in the movies. They feel he was completely underused in the last few years, which is so true. You have like one of the biggest DC characters and he never got a proper sequel. And I think that puts the kibosh on J.J. Abrams' Black Superman. I really hope that that's the case because these guys seem like they really like Superman and they don't want to fool around, you know. We might still get the Michael B. Jordan one on HBO Max, but I'd just be so happy if they got a comic book accurate Superman and they stopped at all this woke crap trying to push inclusion and diversity. Oh, that's the first thing I hope they do. Fire Jim Lee. Fire Jim Lee. If they don't want to do it, I'll do it. I'll call him up. Say, you're fired, jackass. Now get out of here. Go work for the Powerpuff Girls or whatever.
Keep the change, you filthy
Powerpuff
animal.
Powerpuff Girls is an awesome show. What? Don't knock on them.
Well, yeah, no, it was a fun show, I will admit.
Blossom kicked butt.
But I think he would do better there than DC, actually, because he's been ruining DC for, I'd say, what, like 5 years now?
Since he got editor-in-chief.
Yeah, he's horrible.
He's great as an artist. He's okay as a writer, but as editor-in-chief or creative officer, he's been running it into the ground.
Yeah, it's just, again, these guys are businessmen. They want to make money. They're not concerned with social issues. And I had read about these guys, too, because not only did they purchase, well, Warner Brothers, but also CNN is part of that. And they came out and said, or one of the heads or like the new president said that we need to change CNN and we need to go back to journalism and real news because right now they're just pushing agenda and identity politics. And we just want people. I know they all do.
Just to get basic news.
But that's my point. If they can do that, I'd be so happy. No, I agree. Fox does the same thing on the right side. But if they can change, CNN is just unbearable to watch. Yeah. They're still talking about Trump. You know, it's just ridiculous. And now all they do is just, it's like 24 hours talking about Russia and Ukraine. And COVID's gone. For some reason, there must have been some cure that they never told us about because they never talk about it anymore. But like when they had no news, that's all they talked about. Anyway,
We don't know that about that yet. I mean, it's been dimmed down. But,
point.
You know, how I agree with you completely that they're all saying the same thing over and over again. So, yeah, once they have to flip the switch, then they'll just choose a subject and do it over again. It's like, ugh.
No, I was being sarcastic when I said that COVID is gone, but they were talking about it like 24 hours a day. And then all of a sudden this war came up and it's like, all right, axe COVID. It wasn't a big story as it was. We just made it bigger than it had to be. And, I just don't like when any of the press, Fox, CNN.
I usually flip on HLN, which is a CNN affiliate, but I love me some Robin Mead in the morning and some Susan Hendricks on the weekends. They're great.
All right. Maybe I should do that too. I haven't really looked at that channel in a while. Anyway, what else did they say? So they said they believe that several top shelf characters, such as Superman, have been left to languish and need to be revitalized. Yay. Jack's not going to like this one, though. They want more stuff like the Joker. They believe that projects like Todd Phillips, the Joker, was a shining example of how a second build character from the DC library could and should be exploited. They felt, however, that Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn was another opportunity, but Birds of Prey missed the mark. I'm just glad that there's going to be change.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, actually, I'd love to see Henry Cavill back as Superman. It's, once again, he does great in the role. It's just what the material he has to work with. He looks like Superman. He puts that suit on. He is Superman. But Superman isn't dark and gloomy and emo, you know, and that's what they did. When Henry Cavill has those few little moments when he's allowed to lighten up, he hits Superman right on the mark. So, I mean, I'd love it if they brought him back and said, you know what? The Snyder stuff, we're going to go in a different direction with that. Are you interested in coming back and giving us another try? And I would love to see it.
Yeah, and everybody craps over Josh Whedon's Justice League, but he got Superman right.
Well.
Yes, he did. There's no well.
Well. My favorite part in that movie is when he showed up at the end and he's like, I'm a fan of Truth and Justice, you know.
American way, though. That pissed me off. But
yeah, but, you know, like I said, that bit, or when, you know, him and the Flash are trying to save people and the Flash has the truck and he's flying by with the building and gives a smile and a wave kind of thing. Like I said, when Henry Cavill hits those notes as Superman, he pulls it off and it looks great. Even the race with the Flash at the end, you know?
Yeah. That was all Whedon, though. That wasn't Snyder.
Yeah, it was all Whedon, but
even with
Whedon, it takes the actor to pull it off. You could have had the best person in the world, but if Chris Evans did terrible as Captain America, we would all have been crying about it.
Yeah.
You know, same way with Henry Cavill.
Let's get Fedra in here. So what do you think? Are you optimistic about this future?
Yeah, I agree with you that change is definitely needed. You know, I honestly want to see both. I want to see, you know, deeper, you know, psychological films, even of Harley or Batman, or even some, you know, minuscule characters would be nice. But I also would love to see, you know, a good film behind, you know, all of the Justice League. So, and we've been saying it over and over again that it's about the writing. It's about getting the correct, you know, actors to play these roles. And it has nothing to do with, you know, inclusivity. Like, we're all about that here. It seems like all three of us really do support that, but we're just saying that we have to line it up with the character. That is what would make sense, because then it reaches everyone across the board. And you know, of course, I don't think we can, you know, please everybody all the time, but I agree. It would be nice to just push back the woke initiative just a bit, and really just work on making just good stories so it reaches everybody.
Yeah. I will say that I think, like Jack said, he wanted to see Henry Cavill back. I don't think that's going to happen. I think what's going to happen is they're going to hit the reset button and we're going to get a whole new line of actors playing DC characters. That includes Gal Gadot. She might do a third movie, but after that, I think it's done. Like the Flash movie is in the bucket. You know, that's done. And so is the Batgirl TV series, HBO Max series. So those are done. And I think that after all that stuff is finished and they get their Kevin Feige, maybe I wouldn't mind if Kevin Feige went over there. Hopefully he could do some good over there. I don't like what he's doing with Marvel. Maybe if he's got a new boss that they'll kind of keep him in line and say what they want to do. But I am very optimistic about the future of DC. We might not see the fruits of this labor for a while, but I feel a whole lot better looking into the future for the next 10 years than I did this morning for DC. Now, if we can only do something with Disney and Marvel and Star Wars, I wish, and who knows if this will happen. I wish Elon Musk would buy Disney and things would probably go back to the way they were.
And then hire you on as CEO?
No, he would never do that. He doesn't know who I am.
Not yet.
But no, they need somebody to, because Disney's, you know, don't want to get too deep into it, but they're a mess right now. They don't know what they've been doing for the last couple of years. I was just talking to my friend about it. Even like with the animated movies, there's no iconic characters anymore. Like whenever Pixar would come out with a movie, you remembered that character. Like, you know, the Toy Story characters, Monsters, Inc., Ratatouille, The Incredibles. Now you're lucky if you can name the last five Pixar movies and who the characters were. It's just they don't care. They're more about pushing inclusiveness and representation and social issues than they are about creating long-lasting, legendary Disney characters.
And well, they want to put the message first. Message ahead of characters.
Yep. All right. Anyway, so... I don't know if this is old news or not, but The Batman will be streaming on HBO Max starting April 18th. And I know, Jack, you haven't seen The Batman
yet. I still haven't seen it. It's already gone out of theaters, I think.
Oh, and you don't have HBO Max either, right?
No, I don't.
No. So I guess maybe you'll rent it at some point.
Maybe. I don't know.
I still think you should see it. And I know you don't have HBO Max, do you, Fedra?
No, but I don't need to revisit it.
Yeah, I kind of felt that way too. The stuff I would like to see is just the Batman stuff. I don't care about anything else that was in that movie. Because again, it's a 3-hour movie. But I would like to see his performance as the Batman again. But I don't want to see any Catwoman. I don't want to see any Penguin or the Riddler or the Joker, Alfred. Just let me see a little bit of him as the Batman. So maybe if I don't have HBO Max anymore, but maybe I'll subscribe to it for a month just to check out what it's like. Anyway, all right. So next story, and this has been going on, unfortunately, way too long, and it scares me that there has been a push to cast Daniel Radcliffe from Harry Potter as Wolverine. Sandra Bullock and him are on some sort of, what is it? What does that call? Like when you're pushing a movie, advertising a movie and you're meeting with the press junkets, right? They're on a junket for this movie called The Lost City. And so Sandra Bullock, I think someone asked her about Daniel Radcliffe playing Wolverine, and she says she wants to see it happen. She says, just cast him already. And I hate when famous actors or actresses say that, because then that somehow makes it to the big heads. And it, I'm just worried that we're going to see a Daniel Radcliffe as Wolverine. Well,
I did happen to see Lost City.
Oh, you did?
I did. And it was...
Oh, was that the movie you saw with Lynette and your friends?
Yes, that was the one where I kind of got outvoted, and I'm like, I might as well go just to get out of the house. And Daniel Radcliffe was pretty good. He's left Harry Potter behind. And you know what? I'll agree with it.
Oh, go to hell, Jack.
If they get him in the gym and build him up, I'm all on board with Daniel Radcliffe as Wolverine. He just needs to bulk up and get to the gym. And dude, I don't think he'll be able to get big enough.
He's not a masculine male, I would say. His voice
he's not very scruffy looking.
I could grow a beard too. That's going to make me scruffy looking, but his voice is just very soft. He's very weak. And
I think he was good. And you know what? Wolverine is supposed to be lower threatening. He doesn't need to be roaring all the time. You know, and not to mention also the fact that Daniel Radcliffe's a little guy.
Well, that's fine.
Wolverine's not supposed to be 6'2".
I can understand that. I can understand that.
So, I mean, if they got him in the gym and had him build up bulk, I think Daniel Radcliffe would actually be a good Wolverine. I'm going to disagree with you, Joe.
Fedra.
And Sandra, I'm on board. Sign me up.
Yeah, I mean, the only way I could see Daniel Radcliffe work, if this was a very young Wolverine, which would not make sense to the origin story, because every time I've seen the origin story, Wolverine is like in his 30s, I think, or even 40s, and he's like huge. And I mean, yeah, he's short. I mean, I don't even want to say short, but like, I don't know. I'm guessing he's 5'9",
5'10". Nicer than that. I think
he's smaller than that.
5'6".
I mean, honestly, my dream casting for Wolverine, he's gone now, but would have been the wrestler Chris Benoit.
Dude, you're out of your friggin' mind. That guy was a murderer.
That's what I mean. He was nuts.
Well, I mean, that's kind of Wolverine, yeah. When he
killed
upset.
His family. He killed his family and himself.
That look, though. He wasn't like super tall, but he was that stocky, blocky guy, you know. I know he had a terrible ending to, you know, his life and career and everything, but
I can't believe he said that. But that's, you know, I can see that, Jack.
Before the incident, I just remember watching him wrestle on Saturday mornings.
I could see that, but
I thought that's the guy. He would make a good Wolverine, but
I would never.
It was a tragic end. You're right, but that's the guy I always thought, that type of guy would fit a Wolverine role.
No, I do agree, but somewhere he's burning in hell for what he did, and I don't even like mentioning the guy's name.
Okay, I'll strike that from the record. A guy like.
Okay.
I'm trying to find this actor's name, but he was the Punisher in 2004.
Thomas Jane?
I think so. And I think he would play a good one, but I don't know how he would have to transform his look. So, but I think like the attitude, definitely.
But I think they're all going to be young. I think when they launch the FF, they're going to go with the route of, you know, they're all smart teenagers, like in the Ultimate Universe. And the same thing with the X-Men. I think we're going to see a Wolverine in his early 20s and the rest of them like high school kids.
Fedra's right. I think he should be at least in his 30s, even though he never ages or he barely ages. He does have that look where he's like forever in his 30s or 40s.
I mean, when I read the I mean, I don't know if it's accurate, but when I read the origin story, if he's in his 20s, he was on this like farm, I think, in Alberta, Canada, with like his father and doing that whole origin. So like he doesn't go to the X-Men or to Xavier until after the fact, when he finds out his mutant powers and after he's betrayed from the experimental project from, I think, the army or some other thing. Yeah. So, I mean, like that's years later. So that's the problem that I can't get over. Like when I look at Daniel Radcliffe, it's not that I look at him as Harry Potter. I'm just like, you need to be older and you need to be much bigger.
And he's got a baby face.
Yeah, he does. And I'm like, and you need to be drinking and you need to be pissed off and you need to be smoking and you can't take crap from nobody. You know, you need to be upset from your past. Like, I just, you know, that's a tough one. Like, I don't know. I do not have faith that Daniel can convey that much.
I think it would end up like Heath Ledger. Everybody saw him as a pretty boy. And let's face it. He is the Joker. He did a complete retransformation of himself to be an awesome Joker. I say Daniel Radcliffe's got it in him to do the same thing for Wolverine.
No, I agree. He was a great Joker, and he surprised the hell out of me.
So it's look, you may be surprised.
Lightning will not strike twice, especially if the actor's name is Daniel Radcliffe. There's no way in hell that he's... Well, first of all, even if they bulk him up,
that as a pun.
What? What did I use as a pun?
The lightning. Did you really
No.
The lightning bolt. Okay.
Yeah. I caught that. I'm like, wow, you just did that pun.
No,
like,
that was accidental.
You did that nail on the head there. That was awesome.
There's no way he's going to be able to bulk up to be the size of Wolverine.
He'd have to do a lot, but
no, if he's the size that he is, like he's not, you know, like again, 5'6", I think Wolverine is 5'4" or something like that in the comics. And I think he's been growing.
Like I said, you loved Hugh Jackman at like 6'2" or something like that.
But at least he had the face.
He just physically wasn't the part.
No, he physically made the role his own,
but he didn't fit the Wolverine mold.
But he was like Heath Ledger with the Joker. I didn't think Heath Ledger was going to do a job, but once I saw it, he did do a good job, and I bought into the fact that Wolverine was taller. That's not going to happen with Daniel Radcliffe. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen.
Don't know that. Don't you? Don't
I do?
Nope.
I do. I'm going to talk to Elon Musk about this. Can't happen.
Sandy and Danny keep on campaigning.
Who? Oh, Sandy and Danny. That idiot's playing Weird Al Yankovic.
That I don't understand either. I don't understand the need for a Weird Al movie, but
no, I don't either.
That's beyond me.
All right, let's move on.
Can we beat that horse to death?
Yeah.
Which one? Okay. Oh, the story? Or Weird Al Yankovic? All right, next story. So Pedro Pascal and Oscar Isaacs apparently are pretty good friends, and they've been arguing about who would win in a fight, the Mandalorian or Moon Knight. And who said this? I think that Oscar Isaacs had said this. He says Moon Knight would definitely win, and who cares if Pedro agrees, but it's fact. You can't argue with facts. And then... Pedro Pascal came back and said, well, that's so sweet. Maybe Moon Knight would beat the Mandalorian at Scrabble, but not in a fight. So, Fedra, who do you think would win in a fight? Moon Knight or the Mandalorian?
So this is when he's summoned and he has the suit, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'm going to need Jack's help because I do not know what the Moon Knight's power actually pertains.
She didn't get that far into episode 3.
Well,
also just in comics, like I don't know really what his power is.
Oh, in the comics, the Mandalorian would rip him apart.
Okay, well, I mean, that's my gut instinct is really right. The Mandalorian, but I don't have any background to defend the argument.
In the MCU, I would have to give it to Moon Knight, actually.
Well, that's what we're talking. Wait, well, who'd you say first? What do you mean, but? I thought you said Moon Knight.
In the comic books, the comic book version of Moon Knight, the Mandalorian would rip apart.
Really?
Yeah, because the comic book version of Moon Knight isn't like what we're seeing in MCU, especially after the third episode that I finished watching tonight. In the comic book, you know, he was wearing Kevlar and stuff, where if he got shot, you know, he had protection. But that's nothing like what they have in the Moon Knight MCU. With him, you know.
I agree.
Exactly. And the fact that, like, Fedra, I don't want to ruin it too much for you, but when he's getting impaled by spear after spear in his Moon Knight garb, and he's able to shrug that off and break the spears and stuff.
Cool.
Moon Knight in the comic books cannot hold up to that kind of abuse.
So he's never done that in the comics.
Exactly. That's not what he can stand up against.
But what are his mystical powers then? Is it just the suit? I think you said that he took over almost the MCU. Didn't he almost beat everyone in the MCU? Last week you said that.
He did. He was able to do a lot of stuff, but he didn't take that kind of damage. You know, he fought Iron Fist, you know, as two martial artists were, where there was some contact, but, you know, a martial artist knows how to move, roll out of the way, block a certain lot of stuff. So that kind of fight was going on. And while he was able to do all that, he was able to beat Thor because somehow he was able to get control of Mjolnir and use Thor's best weapon against him. But in the comics, he's never been impaled like that, where, you know, he's staked to the ground pretty much by like four or five spears run through him. I've never seen him take punishment like that in the comics at all, much less get up and walk away from it. So I'm thinking in the MCU Moon Knight, I think the Mandalorian wouldn't be able to deal out enough damage that he couldn't shake off. I mean, heck, look at one point he catches bullets in his cape.
Yeah, that was super cool.
Fires them back at the people who shot them. Like, I saw that and I'm like, wow, what the heck is this? But
that's cool.
It happened. It's cool. It happened. But that's not the comic in the comic. The character in the comic books.
See, we'll get to it. I guess. You know what? We'll talk about that when we talk about Moon Knight. But I'm going to disagree with you just because, from your own words, if Moon Knight could beat Thor in the comics, he can beat the Mandalorian in the comics. And I think he would destroy the Mandalorian in both comic book and MCU form. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, since it's Pedro Pascal and it's Oscar Isaacs, they're talking about MCU versus the version of Moon Knight. Right. He would destroy him. And there's no chance in hell that he would have a chance at all. Period. End of sentence. Okay, according to Anthony Mackie, he starts filming Captain America 4 within a few weeks.
Captain America could whip them both.
Well, probably this one could if it was up to Marvel. Are you excited about that, Jack? Or
not at all. I know it's... I've said this before many times. I like Sam Wilson as a character. As the Falcon, I just don't like him as Captain America. I think that suit is so... I just think the suit's a horrible design to look at.
I like the suit.
No, I don't like the suit. If they swapped out the blue and the white and made him more blue than white, I might like it better, but... No, and he as Captain America, he's just too damn preachy, you know. So, yeah, I'm not excited about that at all. In fact, that's probably going to be a skip.
Fedra, are you excited?
No, I wouldn't say I'm excited, but I do want to see how it, you know, how it all gets unveiled. So I'll see more, like, I'll rethink how I feel once it gets closer.
Yeah, like I said, I do like the suit because it's comic book accurate, but I just don't like him being called Captain America just because he's got no super soldier serum in him. And he's more Falcon than he is Captain America. He should have been called Captain Falcon. I think it's a mistake for them to, I think it's an insult to call the movie Captain America 4 without having Steve Rogers in it. And unfortunately, I think they might have Steve Rogers in it. And because of this whole multiverse crap that they're going to be doing for the next 4 years, I would guess, with Phase 4, he's probably going to come back as like Hydra Captain America, and he's going to be the bad guy of the MCU just because Marvel is so preachy and or Disney is. And I just don't want to see that. I think it's very sad. I mean, I'm not going to skip it just because I want to talk about it on the show, but I'm not looking forward to it. He is not Captain America. I would have been fine if he was called Captain Falcon, but he's nowhere near has the powers of Captain America. And like Jack said, he's very preachy, and it became very woke, especially at the last episode.
It was the last episode that just ruined it for me, because I liked it up until then.
I love the first episode.
I liked it up until the last episode, and parts of the second to last episode too. When he's able to get the shield and throw it like Captain America, ricocheting it off trees and stuff, I'm like, that's Steve Rogers. That was his bit. Yeah. You know, nobody else should be able to throw the shield like that. That's his super serum enhancing his balance, his aim, yep, stuff like that. But I like the Falcon. I think the Falcon is a great character on his own. He doesn't need to be Captain America.
I think Anthony Mackie is a bad Falcon. First of all, it's not his fault. They make him a little too comedic. And he was never a comedic sidekick, the Falcon, in the comics. He was serious. He was a good partner for Captain America. And he should be bigger, I think. And he should be older. I always pictured him older. He's probably changed in the comics. I haven't really seen him in the comics. But I just, I've said this before, I'd rather see Anthony Mackie as War Machine than as Falcon. And I don't know who you can get as Falcon.
I like him as Falcon, but then again, I don't have a problem with Don Cheadle as War Machine either. So
I have a huge problem with him.
You do.
All right, next story. Morbius. So Morbius had a 74% decline at the last weekend's box office, and it broke a record as the hugest percentage decline that was held previously by Dark Phoenix and the Fantastic Four movie. The Michael B. Jordan Fantastic Four movie. Fedra, what do you think that says about the movie in the box office?
That Jared Leto sucks.
Perfect. Don't hold back. What do you really think?
She's right.
We called it. We called it when we saw the first trailer. So I'm going to call it as it is when that's what it is.
Jack?
I don't think I'm going to get to see it before it's out of the theaters. So, even though I was looking forward to it as a Morbius fan, even though I kind of not a Jared Leto fan. I don't think I'm going to get to see that one in the movies. Cause I can't imagine lasting more than this weekend. And let's face it, it's a holiday weekend. I'm not getting to the movies.
I think this is a good sign because maybe Sony will rethink its strategy with making all these villains, giving them their own movies, and then trying to make them into really heroes because they're doing that with Kraven.
I don't think that's as much of a problem.
What, they didn't do that with Venom?
I these are characters that could work in standalone movies. It's just whatever formula they're giving these screenwriters to try to write these scripts, because let's face it, they all have, at this point, we've seen enough superhero movies that you know there's a formula they're going to follow. And whichever archetype they try to follow for them, it just doesn't work. And I don't know who's writing these movies, but Morbius is a great character. Venom could be an awesome character. Like I said, I still like the first Venom. I'll watch it when it's on. That second one, God help me, once was enough.
Oh, you did see it.
Yeah, I did see
it. Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay, yeah, okay.
So it's like, and the thing, Kraven the Hunter is a great character. But they've got to get somebody that's going to write a story that doesn't pander to like the generic superhero formula. You know, Kraven's a bad guy. Kraven's a badass going out trying to get superpowers to make the next big kill. Let him be that. Don't turn him into, you know, the noble hunter out there looking for a challenge to, I don't know, whatever nonsense. No, he's not a noble hunter. He's down and dirty going for the kill. And if they stray from that too much, you know, you're going to get a generic piece of garbage. You know, Morbius should have been an outright horror movie. It's a guy who becomes a vampire and has to deal with that, you know, and it's not, you know, sticking in some sort of bad guy somewhere, which it sounds like they did. The villain, from what I've heard in conversations, the villain really isn't defined. It's sort of like, who is he? Why is he there? You know, maybe Morbius doesn't need a villain. Maybe the story is him coming to terms with what he's turned into. You know, and fighting generic villain doesn't help that revelation of the monster he's become. That could be heavy stuff, and that could make for a great movie. But, well, we have this superhero guidelines we have to follow, and, you know, we have to check off all the boxes. So, you know, we've got to find a way. We've got to make it friendly enough to sell toys, you know. That's how Sony's missing the mark. You know, you're not going to beat Marvel at its own game. Warner Brothers has to find something to do with its DC guys that's going to make them unique but still fun. And Sony's got to do the same thing that's going to keep developing their Spider-Verse. Get new writers.
Well, my whole thing, other than the Joker, which I feel was very unique, it was very well done. Well, for me anyway.
Couldn't make it through more than half an hour.
I know you couldn't. You didn't like it. But for me, I watched, I probably seen it like 3 or 4 times. I really enjoyed it. And that doesn't include when I saw it in the theater. I thought it was an excellent movie. But it's a rare beast, basically. If you're going to make a movie about a Spider-Man villain, Spider-Man better be in it. And Spider-Man needs to be the star. So it should be Spider-Man 4. Versus Morbius, Spider-Man 5 versus Kraven. None of this, because you know what they're doing? They're ripping us off. They're basically saying, it's like, oh, you know, you want to see these villains and you want to get an origin story, you're going to have to cough up $20 now to go to the movies because of inflation in some theaters to see these crappy movies that are uninteresting when they don't have Spider-Man in it. And then if he does get popular, maybe we'll put him in a Spider-Man movie. No. Just get rid of all this origin crap and these solo stories of these Spider-Man villains and just put them in Spider-Man movies and let's see him there. It just doesn't work. I mean, for me, I hated Venom. I hated Venom 2. And I haven't seen Morbius, but it sounds like it's garbage. They don't work without the superhero in it, the superhero element in it. And apparently they removed all references to Spider-Man in this movie, which I don't understand. I just, that's the whole thing. It's like, I think I said it before. It's kind of like if you had, like, I bought the rights to the Indiana Jones series, and we can only make so many Indiana Jones movies, but we still want to make money since we own those characters. And they says, well, let's make a solo movie and a short round movie. And you know, every year we'll release a movie, but no one's interested in those characters. They're only interested when they're with Indy, when they're supporting characters, or when they're villains, not when they're in their solo movies. There's not one character. You know, I know Jack will disagree with me, but there's not one Spider-Man villain that has such an interesting story that he deserves his own solo movie. I am sorry. Even Green Goblin, who is the greatest of Spider-Man villains, I do not want to see a Green Goblin movie. I just want to see him as the villain in a Spider-Man movie. That's it. And then the friggin' Penguin is getting his own HBO Max series. What the hell is going on with this world?
Rant, Joe. Go ahead and rant. There you go.
And look what they did to Loki. You know, it's like,
that was just egregious.
Yeah, just stop.
That was listening to fans when they shouldn't. Loki is supposed to be a bad guy. Don't turn him into a good guy because people love Tom Hiddleston. You just ruined Loki. And yeah.
No, it's sad because Disney is ruining such good characters. Like, Loki was one of the greatest villains in the MCU because, you know, they weren't that great around that time. And now they made him into a cream puff. And the same thing goes with Boba Fett. You know, he was considered a legendary villain, although we don't necessarily agree with that. But a lot of people saw him as a villain. Now he's like, I don't know, Father O'Malley, you know, just ridiculous. All right, last story. So I had sent you a picture of this actor. His name is Tenoch Huerta, and he is a Mexican actor. And I looked at his IMDb profile, and he has only been in Mexican movies, this guy. So he is rumored to play Namor in Wakanda Forever. Fedra, did you see the picture of the guy I sent?
When did you send that, Joe? I don't see it.
I sent it to you today. It was during when I sent you the topics and what we're going to talk about. It's at the bottom, you know.
I saw the more Spider-Man images.
All right. If you're on the internet, look up Tenoch.
Yeah, that's a separate email.
T-E-N-O-C-H and Huerta. H-U-E-R-T-A. Look for a picture of him.
Tenoch Huerta.
There we go.
Tenoch Huerta.
Huerta.
That is who they chose for Namor.
So who is Namor?
He's a Submariner. He is originally who's, I don't know. Would you say he started off as a bad guy? He was in the Invaders. What came first?
Well, he started. Namor has always been like an arrogant guy. So even when he was a hero, he was borderline villain. But he showed up and he was a thorn in the FF's and the Avengers side for a while. So, yeah, he was kind of a bad guy when he came back in the 60s for a while. And then they eventually converted him over to that superhero who's a jerk, sort of like Quicksilver was always a jerk, you know, even when he was on the Avengers. So
he's like the definition of the anti-hero.
Not an anti-hero. I hate that term. An anti-hero is a villain. And I would say he was a borderline.
Like a vigilante?
Well, he's like Aquaman.
An anti-hero. You know, it's like, no, Venom goes around, he kills people and he eats them. That's a villain. You're not going to put a heroic spin on, well, he only does it to bad people. No.
Right.
That's still not a hero. That's a villainous.
Yeah, but you can't say that about Namor, too. I mean, Namor, when he gets pissed off, he wants to kill all of humanity.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I'd say Namor goes back and forth. Like, he helps the hero sometimes, but, you know, other times he invades the surface world with troops and blows up a lot of stuff.
So Namor is Marvel's.
Namor's just a jerk.
He's Marvel's version of Aquaman, except he's a lot more pissed off. He wore a lot less clothes.
Yes.
He had feathers on his, or wings on his ankles.
And he doesn't get the crap Aquaman gets.
Yeah, because, you know, he didn't wear that orange and green outfit, but he wore like almost like a thong, like a green thong, nothing else.
No, he wore trunks. He didn't wear a thong.
Well, I wouldn't say they were trunks. Like, they
didn't. You're not seeing any cheeks on the back of Namor.
They were like tidy whities, except they were green, right? I would even say they were even shorter than tidy whities. They were like bikini bottoms, you know.
Briefs.
They were like bikini briefs. You know, except they were green and they had scales.
So why is he making a step in Wakanda then? He's a part of the Black Panther's tribe, or?
No, I think he hates the Wakandans. They're probably littering into his ocean, and they're going to have a fight.
Water and land, huh?
Well, it has happened in the comics, which I didn't read, but apparently, well, Jack, I'm
sure. Oh, yeah, they've been Wakanda and Atlantis have been at war for a while. And
oh, he's supposed to represent Atlantis?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Okay. I'm looking at this guy, Joe. I don't know if he really fits the Namor look, but...
Okay, I will tell you this now, just because I'm going to get to it in Moon Knight. I'm literally getting to the point where I do not want to watch anything Disney because they keep putting occult and metaphysics into these shows, and it is really ticking me off, because now you're saying they're putting Atlantis into Black Panther. I mean, how dare they?
Why is that? That's
wait. I don't get where you're.
Yeah, I don't get where you're going. That. What's wrong with Atlantis?
That's like taking the point of where Jesus died and putting it in a comic book and then putting it in an MCU film. That would never happen.
I can't see equating Atlantis to like Bethlehem or something.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, it's like Atlantis was a real place. I mean, it's all theory. Well, it's stating that it's underwater.
A place of legend.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's saying that technically it's underwater, and that's why we can't see it, basically. And we don't know exactly where it was on the continents. But there is so much scripture written that we must assume that it existed, because we've been talking about all kinds of cities in Mayan and Aztec, but we don't know where that culture went, but they have temples or drafts of that locations. So for them to now take this myth and now put it into MCU, I feel it's very disrespectful. You wouldn't want to do that for any other cultural's civilization upbringing and putting it into it. It's just tacky. And I mean, who knows what they're going to put in? Are they going to actually take, you know, those texts and myths into this now character? It's the same thing with the Emerald Tablet from Sumeria that is ending up in Eternals. It's just, I don't know how to express it, but it's just like,
Atlantis has been part of like the comics since Aquaman and Namor just showed up back in the 40s. Atlantis has been around in the comics, both in Marvel and DC, for years and years.
I had no idea, but that also then correlates of the fact that they've been introducing metaphysics and occult in comics and in films for a very long time. So excellent on that programming. It's been done since 1940. Awesome. And people have had no freaking idea, because they obviously don't read books. They read comics instead of actually reading occult and understanding what these symbols that are being put on them all the time. I really don't care if I sound crazy, because I can back up everything that I'm saying, but that's what's getting me so passionate about it. It's like making a mockery of it instead of actually respecting those pieces of history, you know.
But let me ask you this: is there an Atlantean religion right now?
So Atlantis is stated very similar to kind of extraterrestrial being. It's said that back then that was us, but we were of a higher consciousness and we lost that. We lost that inner knowingness. That's when we were all very much more harmonized. We were, you know, much more, I don't know, more advanced thinking than we are now. And a lot of the practices have been either destroyed or hidden or stretched out over the world, which we're practicing, for instance, about auras. And then all of a sudden science is like, yeah, that actually, it's real. It's like, yeah, thanks. You know, like when they start measuring certain frequencies and how there's different frequencies that project and can give you positivity and negativity. Oh yeah, we could just turn this knob and you could be happy. We could turn this knob and we could torture you. Oh yeah, we've actually been talking about that for a very long time. Thanks. These civilizations knew that. Even back then, and they were advanced in their own ways that we don't know, because again, it was either destroyed or hidden. And so now they're taking them and putting them in these films because now they can use, you know, technology to make it like entertainment. But it's not just entertainment, like, you know, and I mean, it's okay that I say this because, you know, you guys could just, you know, dismiss it. But it's like, I'm there's a point where I like to be the one that I told you so, but it's not this moment. I don't want to have in, you know, years in the future where they're going to say, yes, this is all correct, or yes, this is what it is. And it's just like, okay, so why did it take you this long to catch up? You know, and that's my hardship. You know, it's like, it's even the way that they're constantly projecting Nazism in, you know, in Civil War. Yeah, it was cool. You know, everybody's cheering to kill Nazis. But then again, a part of me is like, all right, we already went through that part of history. Why does it have to be portrayed over and over again? You know, and that's what I mean. Like, sorry, I'm getting on this rant. I mean, you kind of evoked it because I had no idea about that. Now I have to go back and go through all of this now to see what are they putting about Atlantis. So well, I can get on another soapbox.
I will say you made a good point with the What If episode with Doctor Strange and also Eternals. And I think there were other things too that you had made points that they were using occult images or, you know, definite evil religious symbols in some of the movies and TV shows. But I think that back then Marvel and DC were not that smart or did research like that, and to them they just wanted to make a guy that lived on the water that ruled a bunch of people that were basically like mermaids, and they're like, well, wasn't there an Atlantis? Yeah, let's just call Atlantis, let him sit on the throne, he's the king, he's got a queen, you know, end of story. I don't think that there's any religion involved in that. I think it's more, I mean, from my view of what Atlantis was, I just thought it was a city that fell into the ocean. That was it. Everybody died. You know, there was nothing after that. But I don't think it's Namor is that deep. I just think he's a guy that's kind of like a merman, I would say, except he doesn't have a tail. He's got feet and with wings on them for some reason. But he just breathes and lives underwater and he rules as their king. You don't worship any god. There is no evil mythology related. They don't read any religious scriptures or books or anything. It's just, he is the ruler. He hates the people that live on the surface because they litter, they pollute, they're arrogant idiots. And if they would just leave the oceans alone, he'd be content and we'd never hear from him. But he's just a pissed off guy. And he's a cool character. What makes him cool is, like Jack said, he can be a real jackass at times, you know, like, and he gets mad. He doesn't care. He's just going to destroy everybody in the surface level just because he feels like it. But I would say, getting back to this picture. All right. So for me, the problem is, and I said this, if they were going to cast anyone as Namor, he's got to be Asian, you know, because to me, he always looked Asian in the comics. This guy is Mexican. First of all, from the pictures I've seen, he's a very dark skinned Mexican person or actor. And I just don't see that, you know, and they're doing that with the Little Mermaid too. Like I know they cast a black actress to play Ariel in the movie, in the live action movie. I think if you're living under the sea and you don't have much light, you're going to come out as pale as a ghost, you know, but I think again, this is more of Disney wanting to push inclusiveness and diversity, and that they want to have a Mexican actor now. It's like, we need someone that is Mexican to represent somebody in the MCU, not Namor. I'm sure there could be other actors that they could choose, but definitely not Namor. He's got his eyebrows, but anybody can get his eyebrows, you know, like.
No, I don't think he even has the right kind of eyebrows.
Well, at least he's got black hair. I'll give them that.
Okay. Yeah. At least he's got the black hair. But even, you know, like Namor also kind of, it would be kind of tough to find. This guy is like a very square chin. Namor always had kind of like that angled point.
Yeah.
Like his head was freakishly kind of triangular. Well,
we don't even need that though.
He has pointy ears too.
That's right. He's got pointy ears too.
He's got pointy ears too. But no, this guy doesn't. Like you said, obviously he's darker, and Namor is always like pale.
Yeah,
he's not just white. He's pale. Like
he's almost clear.
You know, on a sunny day, he's blinding people. You know, he doesn't tan, and this guy being darker doesn't look the part. And you know, I know they want to bring more diverse casting in, but bring him in for characters who make sense, you know, like have him be, you know, introduce the tarantula.
You know what's insane about this? South American,
you know, a villain. And they even brought in the black tarantula, who was, you know, a South American crime lord who's actually a really cool character. I wish they brought him back a little bit more, but you know, you could bring in, make use those characters, if you want to have someone of a Mexican or South American descent.
You know, if they want to cast somebody that's South American, Bane. I mean, that's not Marvel.
Yes. Bane. But, there you go.
Yeah. He should be. No one else should play him other than Hispanic actor. A big Hispanic actor. Built. Huge. Gigantic. A luchador. Yeah. Big wrestler type of guy. What bothers me more is this guy's IMDb profile. He's only done Mexican movies. He hasn't done any American movies. It's like, where did they find this guy?
Well, he might be very good. I'm not commenting on his acting ability or how good he is. I'm just saying he just doesn't look the part.
No, he doesn't.
And
yeah, I'm really actually agreeing with you.
You know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, yes, you don't have to be exactly the same. I don't hold those principles as strongly as you do, Joe, but he's got to at least kind of look like the character he's portraying. You know, I mean,
it's still a rumor, but it sounds like a fairly accurate rumor, you know, that we're going to see him cast as the character. But yeah, you know, it's just Disney just again pushing all these social issue crap, and it's going to be like that for a while. Fantastic Four, it's never going to be the Fantastic Four in the comics. It's going to be a super diverse Fantastic Four, and probably a super diverse Doctor Doom. Anyway, yeah, so we'll see. All right, let's get into it. Let's get into the Moon Knight episode 3. And this was called The Friendly Type. Why was it called The Friendly Type? Do you guys know? Anybody?
Because Mark Spencer is just so damn friendly to everyone he meets.
I don't know. All right, so Frederick, so you've seen episode 2 and half of 3. I think you're more than half of 3, actually. Because if you saw Moon Knight appear...
That was towards the last third of it.
So what do you think so far after seeing 3 episodes, Fedra?
You really want me to go first?
Well, you don't have to. I can let Jack go.
I mean, I got a bit to say.
Okay, we'll let Jack go first, and then. Well, so do you want to go last? You want me to go after Jack?
No, right, you could be like my buffer. You could be my buffer.
Okay, all right.
It looks like she's has the notebook out. She's making her notes. Like, I'm going to rip them on this one.
Yeah, she is. And she's doing push-ups.
See her down there. I liked this episode. I liked learning more about Mark Spencer and Layla. You know, I like the character of Layla. I think she's pretty cool. And I like that move she used when she was fighting the guy in the pyramid. You know, how she came up and, you know, I'm like, what is she doing? Like a crane kick or something? Like, it was just kind of a cool move. And then she like nailed him to the wall with that bracelet, not bracelet, that necklace she was wearing. I thought that was very cool. I was watching it, and as I mentioned before, I saw what was happening to Moon Knight in that rodeo arena. And I was like, wait a second, like, damn, you know, how's he getting up and how's he doing this? But like I said, that's where it differs from the comic. But I liked the episode. I liked the piecing together of the mystery on how they find the tomb of Ahmed. And, you know, the bit how they had to switch bodies because they had to bring Stephen in, who was the Egyptologist, to decipher things. But some of it was wild, like Khonshu's magic, how first he created an eclipse out of nowhere, and then how he turns back the constellations, the skyline. I thought that was kind of wild, and I had no idea he could do stuff like that. From my familiarity with the characters in the comics, I may have missed something, but I thought those were some very cool moments. And I know, Joe, you said you didn't like the arguing between the personalities, you know, but that doesn't bother me. I like the difference and how Oscar Isaac switches between Mark Spencer and Stephen. Excuse me. And I like how they peppered in the possibility of the third personality that neither of them know. So I thought that was kind of cool in character development stuff. I loved when Moon Knight jumped off of his high perch and the cape became the crescent of the moon. I thought that was very cool. But there was a lot of crazy stuff happening in here that I didn't know Moon Knight could do, but you know what? It's a whole different ball game. Shang-Chi is very different from the Shang-Chi in the comics. Moon Knight is very different as well. And sometimes you need to do that. And like I said, all the changes were pretty cool, I thought. So I liked it. So
what would you rate it out of a 10?
10, I would give this probably about a 7 to a 7.5.
Oh, I was going to put my fingers and say you were going to say an 8, but...
No, I mean, I liked it. I loved the first episode. That was very strong. I don't remember what I gave that. I liked the second episode an awful lot, too. This was about on par for the second episode with me. I still think it's the best Disney Plus Marvel series so far. I'm liking it, and, you know, The Falcon and Winter Soldier has made me a little gun shy because I keep waiting for like one episode to happen that just it all falls apart on me. Luckily, it wasn't this week. So definitely worth checking out.
I'll just say something really quick. I'm okay with changes as long as they make the character better. Like I said, like with Ms. Marvel, what they're doing, they're making her powers better. I'm all for it. So if he can get impaled and survive that, that's fine. Fedra, so you want to go next or?
Yeah.
You want me to be the buffer?
Yeah.
Is this a bad sign?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Dun, 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 dun.
So again, I haven't finished season 3. Episode I will say the episode 3. Yeah. Episode 3. So the filmmaking, the cinematography, the acting, it's great. I think everybody's doing a great job. I do like the different parts of, you know, Steven Grant and Mark Spector, now this third maniac, and then, you know, showing the different deities or gods, as you would of Egypt. But again, it's part of who I am. I'm a spiritual person. I study these things and I've read about these things. And so when I'm seeing it in these shows that, you know, I'm guessing that a younger crowd is watching, and
I don't know about that.
I don't know if they're catching, you know, what's being shown. You know, there's messages within what's being shown, and it really grinds my gears. There's a part in episode 2 that Haro says that I truly believe is what's happening right now, like in the real world. And I really think it's just a slap in the face to humanity to put that in a show that a lot of people are watching. And it's just like,
well, what did he say?
He said that medicine could also be used as a poison.
Oh, okay.
It's just depending on the dosage. And he's basically choosing that he gets to decide, because he's the avatar of Amit, which is, I was just looking up, is the female representation of destruction. In other goddesses, that would be Kali, who is destruction of hurricanes and all this stuff that pretty much
Kalima.
Yeah, Kalima, exactly. That wipes out all of humanity. Okay, so I do have an issue with that when that's being really discussed in the real world. As I said, I don't really need to hear these things again and again while I'm trying to just watch and entertain myself. And you all might say that I'm looking at it really deeply, but I mean, it's right there in front of you, and they could create some other kind of story, but they choose to, you know, project this. I also have an issue with how they're showing, you know, this schizophrenia relationship within, you know, Steven and Mark. You know, they're trying to like show one's kind of an ass and then one's kind of good. And, you know, who are we to judge? You know, I haven't finished up, you know, episode 3, so we don't know what kind of person is Mark and what was his, you know, deal. I'm not getting his name. Khonshu, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so that's my beef. Like, if they could have turned around this story without so much occultism, I mean, I would be okay. But like, I do have an issue with showing, you know, possession. I truly believe that's a real thing that actually can occur. And for them to show it in such an entertaining way, I mean, it's fairly interesting why it's just more and more right now in this show, as you just stated in What If, and, you know, all this with Doctor Strange. And I just don't think it's a coincidence. You know, there's just an interesting rap or people being fascinated with this stuff when, you know, I think it's very dark. I don't know why they can't show metaphysics more in a positive light rather than such a negative thing. I mean, when you see him use the scales, he's basically draining the life force out of these people that he decides are worthy to live and follow, and if they don't, or if they're not worthy, they die. You know what I mean? It's like, those kinds of vibes is just not my vibe, you know? And I mean, of course, I'll watch it through, you know, to finish it. But, you know, I was even thinking about, should I say anything at all right now? like today, like to critique this. I was just like, maybe I should just not say anything,
no,
which isn't good. I shouldn't feel like I should censor myself, you know, like, come on.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, if you don't know about this or don't dive into it, which I really, you know, think if people are interested in Egyptian culture, they should look back into it, because particularly that culture was obsessed with death. They were obsessed with trying to live forever, and they were doing various things to their own people as well as to themselves to try to live forever. So I don't know. I definitely want to finish the episode just to, you know, see where it's going. But, you know, there's a lot of truth in there about, you know, the scarab and about leading into certain tombs and how certain tombs were used for different things. And, you know, it definitely brought up that same vibe of Eternals. You know, these avatars are simply here and we are just here to watch humanity. We're not supposed to do anything. We're just supposed to watch. Like, that was very reminiscent of Eternals. So again, doesn't that sound like UFOs or extraterrestrial, you know, other life forms that are on this earth, but they're just watching, right? They're not actually doing anything. You know, like, it's like, come on. Like, I just like, how many times are they going to say this in different, you know, shows and movies? I'm sorry to go on this rant, but I did warn you. like it really, okay. Like, to me, you know, it's just not to me a coincidence. And I'm just so open that I believe anything is possible. Like, I really do. And I embrace all the religions and beliefs of people, because anything is possible. So what I have a problem with, though, is these particular narratives in these films. And if people aren't careful, they just shrug it off. When, you know, at that time, they believed in those deities. They sacrificed people and children and crops, and were very paganistic because they were worshiping that as a deity, even though that is half human, half bird, half lizard. You know what I mean? Like they took that stuff very seriously. That was like, you know, whether you got a good harvest for that year or whether you're going to live tomorrow, you know?
See, Phaedra, I think that the writers of these series write this stuff just to piss people like you off, you know? and I'm saying it because I think they're atheists. I don't think they believe in religion, but I think that they're researching this stuff just to get reactions like that, you know, from different people, or, you know, how people see religion. And they do it a lot, like in movies too, and it offends some people, and then some people it doesn't offend. But I don't think that they believe in this stuff, but I do think that they do it seriously to piss people off. Like, they'll do stuff like that about Christianity. And they just do it again to kind of like stick pins into people. I'm not as spiritual as you, but I respect the fact that you have these thoughts. I'm more like when he's judging this woman that he's about to kill, I'm like, just let her die already, because I just want to see Moon Knight punch somebody in the face. That's all I want to see in this show. And this is where I'm disappointed with the series. Like, I love the first episode. I gave it 9 out of 10. You know, I thought it was great, but it's been going downhill ever since. And my big problem, like I said, is there's not enough Moon Knight in this episode. I don't include Mr. Knight. Mr. Knight sucks. I hate whenever he shows up. It bothers me. It's an insult to me that he wears a 3-piece suit. I just want to see the classic Moon Knight costume. And to me, Moon Knight, again, I'm not a huge Moon Knight fan like Jack was. I read some of his stuff, but he had a cool costume and he was kind of like Batman. You know, he would come out at night and he would go on the rooftops and just take down criminals and bad guys and villains and stuff like that. I don't think they need to do all this Egypt stuff, that they needed to travel to Egypt. I'd rather him be Moon Knight in the city and just, again, just take out people in the brutalist most form imaginable. Put a big stamp on there before the show starts that says, kids, you need to go to bed. You shouldn't be watching this.
Kids, change the channel.
Yeah, this isn't Donald Duck. This is Moon Knight. And I don't know. I just think that my other problem with this is, like I said last week, I realized that Oscar Isaac is producer, and for some reason that's why we're getting less Moon Knight and we're seeing Oscar Isaac doing I won't say Oscar worthy performance, an Emmy worthy performance, because I'm sure that's what they want him to get, an Emmy. So they're letting him do multiple characters and say what a genius he is. He plays two, maybe even three or four different characters, and they're all different. And again, he does a good job, but I don't want to see that crap. It's like, we want to see Moon Knight. We want to see him kick ass. That little, and I counted, I looked on there. It was less than 3 minutes. So I would say we've seen almost 3 hours of this Moon Knight series with three episodes. And we've seen about maybe 5 minutes of Moon Knight so far. And that is a huge mistake. That's what, again, Marvel doesn't get. They think they hire an actor, so they're like, people want to see the actor act. They don't, the hero is secondary. The hero needs to be primary. The actor needs to be secondary. Like, I don't give a damn if we only see 10% of Oscar Isaacs. I want to see Moon Knight. I want to see Iron Man. I want to see the Hulk. I don't want to see their alter ego. And it is starting to get annoying with this whole schizophrenic thing. Especially like I said to you, where it's Steven, is it Steven? No, it's no, Steven. Steven has the, it's Steve. No, it's not Steven. Who's the other guy? Mark. So Mark is in control of the body and they need Steven for some reason. And he's like, well, let me have control of the body. And he's like, no, I can't give it to you. And he goes, but you need me. It's like, no, I can't. And it's like, all right, I need you. And so he gives him the body back. And then Steven's like, well, I'm never going to give you the control of the body back again. And he's like, damn you. You know. And then about 5 minutes later, they're being chased by these crazy villains. And he's like, you need to give me control of the body. And he's like, no, I can't do that. It's like, yes, you must. No, I can't. Yes, you must. All right, I'll give it to you. And then he takes it and he's like, and you're never getting the body back. And it's just like, you know, it's just a rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. It's like every episode, it's like that too. Yeah. It's like, are we blind? Do they not think that the audience is seeing this, that it's just over and over again? It's really starting to get a little annoying with them doing that constantly. I also think that they're trying to make a James Bond movie instead of a Moon Knight show. It seems more like, to me, that Mark is more of a James Bond type of character. He goes on these exotic locations. Well, he's in Egypt, but you could tell he's a well-traveled man, and he's almost like he's a mercenary. He's good at what he does. And I just don't think that they get the whole essence of Moon Knight. Not that I'm an expert on Moon Knight, but I would much rather him be more like the Marvel version of Batman than to be this, what would you call it? Like a more intellectual, more complicated version of a superhero with his different personalities and all of that. But yeah, okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I just agree with what you were saying about the vibe. Like, to me, it kind of felt like National Treasure or Jumanji 2, this kind of like blend of like an adventure action vibe going on, or like Da Vinci Code, where they got to solve this stuff to figure it out, but then they have all this schizophrenia back and forth. I agree. It doesn't really need to be pounded into your brain. I think the audience is capable enough to understand that there's multiple characters here, and that, you know, there's a mental health issue here that they're trying to, I guess, put into it. I mean, it's unique, But I, again, like, I can't help but feel like you're just putting this into the narrative because it's trending, not that you actually care and have sympathy.
Is it trending? What do you mean? Like mental health issues? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like mental health issues and putting it on a spotlight and addressing it is now like trendy to talk about it or to put it on this spotlight. Whereas, you know, if we quote the Joker, if you saw me in real life, you just literally walk all over me, you know, and that's what I think the truth is. But I think they're just highlighting it now because I don't even want to say the woke initiative. I just want to say that it's just a trendy topic, just like all this occult stuff is. But they have no idea what they're freaking doing. But that's what I mean. Like, that's what also gets me upset. It's like you either are putting it there specifically because you want to put such a negative, you know, vibe on this show and project that, because that'll just induce more fear and negativity to your viewer, or you actually have no idea what you're doing. You're putting it at a little bit of entertainment. And I think that's even more insulting. Either way, I'm upset.
No, you make a good point. I do think that you're right, that it is a trend, like what they're doing with Echo, that she's like a deaf superhero and they're pushing her, and they did that with the Eternals. It's almost like they're virtue signaling, kind of showing that people that have handicaps could be superheroes too, and we need to see more of them than the regular, you know, the Clark Kent / Superman type of character. But I don't see why we can't see both. I think that's the problem what Disney is doing right now. That's why we're getting shows like Moon Knight, Echo, Miss Marvel, She-Hulk, and, you know, but they're abandoning Iron Man, Captain America, well, not Thor, but we could have both. It's like there's no reason why you got to kill off characters and replace them with characters that are maybe culturally different, or they have a different gender when it comes to their character. Just give us both, you know, and so let everybody be happy. If you want to make everybody happy, give us superheroes that are representative of different cultures, but give us the classic ones too. I mean, I know we have Spider-Man, and he's very popular, but I don't know. I'm just disappointed because I feel like there's only 6 episodes of the series. We've gone through 3. I don't know if there's going to be redemption after this, because I think it's just going to be the same old crap. It's going to be they're going to just push the performance by Oscar Isaacs, and we're just going to continue to get very little Moon Knight. Maybe in the last episode, we might get 20 minutes of Moon Knight, but that's still not enough for me. I'm a little disappointed. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
Anyone else have anything else to say? Or else speak now, forever hold their peace.
I'm also disappointed. I haven't finished rating it, so I'll just say that it's probably a 6 out of 10 for me still. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I gotta say, it really was like a knee-jerk reaction. So I hope that they don't keep upsetting me, because otherwise I'm just gonna keep pointing everything out. I do enjoy pointing it out, because if I didn't, you guys wouldn't see it. You just kind of pass right over it, you know?
No, you know, and no, you're right. And unfortunately, Fedra, I think they are going to continue to disappoint you for a while, because you're going to see more of that stuff, I'm sure. I think we've only seen very minor stuff of it. It's just going to get more intense, I would say, for you. You know what bothered me a little bit about this? I feel like they cheapened out that we could have seen the gods in that temple, and instead they gave us their human avatars.
It would have been cool if, you know how we always see Khonshu like behind Mark or Steven? It would have been cool if we saw the gods standing behind their avatars.
Yeah,
I like the fact that everything's communicated through the avatars, but it would have been kind of cool to see those aspects standing behind their avatars.
Yeah, I agree.
That maybe Khonshu couldn't speak directly to everybody, so he was there, but he was using Mark as his conduit to communicate. So I thought that would have been cool, but you're right in that regard that it would have been cool to see the other gods.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say I agree with Fedra. I would give it a 6 out of 10, these last two episodes. I hope it gets better, but you know, maybe this third personality that they're adding, maybe he'll be interesting, but I don't know. We need new leadership at Disney and Marvel before we start to see stuff really good again. I just think for now it's going to be mediocre. It's going to be pushing a lot of social issues, inclusiveness, diversity, and not that those shouldn't be part of the MCU and Star Wars and DC, but they just need to be done right, and they shouldn't be preachy, and they shouldn't be pandering. And let's hope that the new DC will be successful, that they do the right things, and that maybe they take over where Marvel once was. Where Marvel was at the top, DC will become the top, because hopefully they will be giving the fans what they want, where before they just wanted to do what they wanted. And maybe Marvel will learn a lesson, and hopefully Star Wars too. And one day we'll be back on the show loving the things that we started the show for. Because when you think, when we started this show, we were into The Force Awakens, Star Wars was back, we were into the MCU, is at the highlight of its, or the pinnacle of the MCU at that time. And I just feel like things have just shattered. My world has fallen apart.
Oh my God.
Nah, that's
sad. Give up hope now, Joe Hogarty. There's no help for you.
Well, what high points have you had since after Endgame? In either Marvel after or Star Wars? Since
Endgame?
Yeah.
Well, I liked The Last Jedi.
Oh, I kind of
like The Last liked Jedi. I liked The Last Jedi when it came out, and I never could understand all the hate for it. And with multiple viewings, I like that better than The Force Awakens. I like what they did, Rian Johnson did, and I hope that it's true. We're actually going to see more Star Wars from him. You know, I don't think it's all bad. I liked Hawkeye, even though it had its problems, but you know, it's not all doom and gloom.
Well, I think part of the reason why we liked Hawkeye was because there was so much crap before that. You know what I mean? It was okay, but it's not like something I would watch over and over again.
It was just more uplifting, though. I mean, What If was just terrible. And Loki, I mean, I would have just, I mean, you know, they should have put Loki on like HBO and make like a bisexual soap opera. You know, maybe it would have been actually better than, you know, like The L Word or like Sex in the City. But Loki, you know, if you really want to sell it on that woke initiative, go that way. Like, because what they did was terrible. And I don't even know that much about Loki, but from reading it, I agree with you. He looked dope in the comics. And now they just made him, like you said, a cream puff. And it's like, why? Like, it's terrible. We're both, all three of us are not going to rewatch it. Am I right?
Oh, no. In fact, I couldn't care less that they're already talking about season two.
It's sad that Loki's getting a season two and What If is getting a season two. Everything's getting a season two. Like,
except Hawkeye's not.
Is that confirmed?
that's what I was reading somewhere today, how it's very, very doubtful Hawkeye's getting a second series, or Kate Bishop Hawkeye is getting a second series.
I could see her getting a second series. I actually liked her.
I like her.
Yeah, I do too. I wouldn't mind if she joined, you know, the MCU theatrical Avengers. I thought she was good. Again, you know, it's like, I don't have a problem like with female superheroes, as long as they're written well and they're represented well. You know, she was fine, because again, she wasn't perfect. She made mistakes, and she's a good actress too.
I hope She-Hulk is good.
Me too.
I hope so too.
I'm looking forward to that.
I still have my doubts after.
There better not be any occult stuff in She-Hulk.
Okay? I'm pretty sure you'll be safe.
I want rocks and crushing stuff and anger. Let's see that.
It's going to be like LA Law, except there'll be a green woman in the courtroom.
I could deal with that. I would like that. Just no spells and occults and portals and mysticism. Let's just get over that now. Okay.
I will say the one thing I'm worried about with She-Hulk is that it's just in the courtroom and that she doesn't do any superhero stuff.
Oh, but you see, that's the thing. The fun of it, of the comic, was in the courtroom, but what was going on in the courtroom?
That can get boring very quickly. I mean,
but it depends if they use the right gags. And of course, you're right. They cannot make it a 13 episode season. This She-Hulk would be, I think 6 is that prime number. You know, just you get can pack in what you want and tell a story, but you got to keep it tight. And you know, it's the same way as, you know, Iceman is being sued for giving someone hypothermia, you know, and the crazy callbacks to Marvel history that they drag up during the court case. It's a lot of nostalgia that they worked on in the comics when it was Jen Walters, lawyer, you know, and they could play that off in the courtroom. That'll be a lot of fun.
All I know is she better punch somebody at some point or lift up a boulder or a car or something like that. I just don't want to see her in a suit and her in green makeup and representing the Mole Man, you know, or
what? But that's what happened in the comics.
Well, I know that, but I'm
those
just saying
were her clients.
I don't want LA Law or Legal Eagles or whatever the hell else you want to call it. Some of that, yeah, but just not for 45 minutes. I don't want to see that. I just want to see her be the Hulk too, you know. All right, let's wrap this one up. Jack, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
You can always send me a message at jackm@wdwnt.com.
And Fedra?
You can email me at fedra@wdwnt.com and be my friend on Facebook or follow me on Instagram.
I was just reminded of the Godfather. Godfather, be my friend. I don't know if you guys remember that scene. And if you want, you can email me at joe@wdw.com, wdwnt.com, or be my friend on Facebook. Search for me. And check out WDW News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Parks News Today for all your Disney and Universal news. And please hit the carousel of products. And finally, if you like our show and other WDWNT podcasts and like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit the WDWNT Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. So with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 8, Episode 18. So until next time, see ya.
Good night, folks. And Sandra, Danny, keep up the fight.
Good night, everyone.